We live in a world that is suffering an epidemic of foolish words, silly tweets, offensive Facebook posts, hysterical comments, all from people who are old enough to know better, right? We hear it from politicians and from news broadcasters. We hear it from celebrities. We hear it from people who we used to trust. But because of the foolishness of their words, we are losing trust in people. Many people think that this is a new phenomenon. It isn't. Now, we have new media in which we can say silly things. And in fact, the speed of our silly comments travels the world quicker than it ever has before. In the old days, one would have to contemplate writing a letter to the editor. And then they would have to type it. And they'd have to put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and then send it to the blade. Today, we can do it all with our fingers on our phones, and we can get it out there like that. The problem with that is that our social media has caused us to no longer filter through our anger. And so we react. And in reacting, we say what we think before we really know what we're thinking. We go from 0 to 65 in a heartbeat. And when we get our words out into the world, we can never bring them back. If you've ever said or tweeted or Facebook post something that was offensive or difficult, we know that it lasts forever. And let me make it clear, it always has lasted forever. When you say something that is offensive to someone, it puts a scar in them. When you tell a child that they're stupid, it leaves a mark. When you tell a child that they're not a good-looking person, maybe they're overweight, you tell them. You're a bully in school. It leaves a mark. And many of you have marks that have been left because of foolish words. Now, the problem with Twitter and Facebook is that those foolish words can't be deleted. You can't walk away from them. 20 years, 30 years later, there's an archive of all of the things that you have said. And the memory lasts longer. But let me make it clear. Foolish words spoken in anger have always been remembered by those that they hurt. James is talking to the church in his first letter. When James writes, he tells us this in James 1:1. He writes the letter and he addresses it from James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He's talking to the Jewish church. Whenever you hear 12 tribes, know that you're talking to the Jews. And he's talking to the early church, the original ones that were there. And this is why I want to make sure that I tell you this. He's talking to people. When I say that James is talking to the Jews, I don't want you to think ethnically. I want you to think in terms of the original ones. The Jewish church was the oldest part of the church. They were the mature church. They were the ones that knew from the beginning what was right and what was wrong. They were the ones that understood the ethics of God before they knew who God's Messiah was. You see, the Gentile church at that time was still in transition. They were still trying to learn what God expected of them. But the Jewish church, from their upbringing, from the time they were children, knew what God's expectation was. So when it came to conduct, James didn't have to reteach conduct like Paul did to the Gentile churches. Paul had to tell the Gentile churches what sexual conduct was supposed to be like. James doesn't have to tell the Jewish church that. They already know it, even if they don't follow it. So when James is talking to the Jews and the Christians who were Jewish, James is able to tell them what they already should know. But unfortunately, as we all know, we don't always practice what we know. We know what is true, we know what is righteous, but in anger and in greed and in lust, we do what we know we shouldn't. And when we don't do what we should do, we bring dishonor to God. And the point of the church, as far as James is concerned, and I will just say right now, he's right. Our job is to glorify God in our actions. We are here to glorify God and to share God's love to the world. You can't glorify something if you make a spectacle of yourself and bring dishonor to it. This is one of the reasons why the words of the church are so important. Because it's the first way that people see who you are. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I'm driving down the road, I'm singing a wonderful Christian song, and someone cuts me off. Okay? And when someone cuts me off, I don't always glorify God. I get angry. And sometimes in my anger, especially when I'm alone, children are an elixir for speaking silly things out loud. Right? They help us because we have a filter. We have someone that we don't want to offend. We don't want the child to learn from us bad language. So when we're alone, and this is where Twitter and Facebook and all the rest get us into trouble. When we're alone, we lose our filter, don't we? And we say things that we never would say in public. Except the reality is, as much as you think that windshield stops the person next to your car from hearing you scream, they can hear you. They can see you. But more importantly, God can see you. It's something that you have to know. Now, the reason why this is such an important thing is, remember, you are unique in this world. You are called for a purpose, set apart, sanctified by God to work and show God's love in the world. You have a purpose in your life, a purpose that other people don't have. I want you to recognize that. The church is set apart. I'm not just saying this church. I'm saying the church. Those who would follow Jesus Christ are set apart to glorify the name of God through Jesus and share the salvation brought by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the world around us. But that makes us a stranger in this strange world. Because the rest of the world doesn't see that as their purpose. The rest of the world sees their purpose of eating and drinking and being merry because tomorrow they might die. The rest of the world thinks about acquiring as much as they can so that they can have security, or so that they might have safety nets, or so that they might have what they want and what they desire, so that they might be attractive to other people, so that they might grow in power and authority. But the church recognizes that power and authority comes from God. That what we value is eternal. And that makes us strangers in this world. That makes us different from the motivations and the factors that the rest of the world live in. But let me make it clear. Many of us have difficulty understanding that we are called out and different. Because when you're surrounded by everyone else, you begin to think and act like everyone else. And the church has a problem when we react in anger and silly words in the same way that the world does. And this is what James is trying to tell us when he shares with us in chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. This you know. Remember, he's talking to people who know better. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The point of what James is saying here is that your goal is to achieve the righteousness of God. So everything before this is leading up to how you can glorify God in your life. But guess what? You can't do it when you're quick to speak in anger and you don't listen well. God is trying to tell the church today these same things. Now, let me tell you something. Listening well is important. You might not realize this, but as someone who's a called out, living for Jesus Christian, listening well is very important. Because listening well means that you don't just hear the words, but you hear what is being said in the words. I don't know about you, but sometimes when someone says something to me, I react to what they say. And oftentimes what they say might be something that I find offensive. Have you ever walked by a conversation, you heard something, and out of context you wanted to react to it? You thought, hey, them's fighting words? Are you talking about me? You know, one of those types of things? The reality is that our job in this world is to listen because, believe it or not, you are the world's therapists. And you need to be able to hear what other people say, and not just their words, but their meanings. When people say silly things, oftentimes they're saying something very different from what we're hearing. When someone talks about another person, oftentimes what they're really saying is, I don't feel good about myself and I need to bring someone else down because I feel terrible today. When a kid's bullying another kid, what we don't always hear is that that bully is someone who's been bullied. Someone who might be coming from a home that we can't even imagine. Do you listen well? Are you hearing what's being said, or are you reacting to their words? Our politicians need to listen well. Our preachers need to listen well. Our teachers need to listen well. Our people need to listen well and hear what's really being said in our world today. We tend to hear what we want to hear and shut down. What I like to hear is this: Pastor, you gave a great sermon today, but, you see, I want to hear everything up until the but. See, I want to listen, but I want to hear what I want to hear, right? And that's what we do. We hear what we want to hear. We react to what we want to react to. And before you know it, we're filtering, we're editing other people's comments so that they serve us. Listen well. And then be slow to speak. Now, this might seem oddly ironic for a preacher to talk about being slow to speak. Because all you hear me do is talk, right? You show up every week, and every time you show up, I'm talking. You think, this guy never listens. All he does is talk. But what you forget, what we often forget, is that in order for me to speak, I have to listen for hours. When I am preparing for a sermon, I can't tell you how much I throw away. It was told to me and taught to me when I was growing up as a young minister that you could tell the quality of a preacher's sermon by the notes that they cast out. You go and you dig and you find everything that you can find, and then you say, this doesn't work. This sounds angry. Don't say that. Because oftentimes when you're first preparing something, you've got a point to make. And the point that you have to make is your point. It's not God's point. It's your point. And I need to say this because people need to hear it. That's what you say in your own head. But the reality is this. You need to say it. People don't need to hear it. And if you need to say it and people don't need to hear it, then write it down, type it out, and never mail it. Get it down, get it out, vent it, talk to a friend, talk to a pastor, talk to a Christian, say, I just need to vent, I'm not serious, please just gracefully listen to me. Because if I don't get this out, I'm going to yell at somebody. Have you ever said that? Have you ever done that? Have you had someone do that to you? And you do it so that you don't say it out loud. You do it so that you don't hurt somebody's feelings. You do it so that you can do it in the closet. You can do it away from an audience. You get it down and you put it away. I have hundreds of pages on my computer that will never see the light of day. Because though they might be true, and though it might be good, it doesn't edify the body of Christ. It's not to the point where it blesses anybody. When James tells us to be quick to hear and slow to speak, he's telling us, don't speak until you can bless. Because the point of this is to make sure that God is glorified in what you say. And you know what? I'll be honest, you can say something difficult in a way that blesses people. And if you don't know the words now, just pray about it because you'll find them. God will give you the words to say a difficult thing in a way that blesses and glorifies God. And the easiest way to do that is to get rid of the anger. Because so frequently what motivates us is anger. Think about it. The easiest poem in the world is a poison pen poem. The easiest thing in the world to say is something that's hurting someone else. We can find anger almost everywhere. It's a motivator for us. Heck, I've discovered that on social media, you'll find that people will stalk you if they're mad. If you're angry at someone, you can't let it go. And you will keep reading everything they have to say because it fuels you. It gets you angry. It makes it so that you wake up in the morning and you're rejuvenated in that anger, aren't you? For a time. It's bringing you down and you don't realize it. Stop getting angry. Because here's the thing. James is trying to ask you, how is it helping? Is this blessing you? Is this blessing others? Does this glorify God? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's, if you want to get a pull quote for today, that's it. The anger of humanity does not achieve the righteousness of God. What is James saying? It's never going to make it right. No matter how angry you get, no matter how many windmills you're tilting at, no matter how frustrated and bombastic your speech is, you won't correct anything in that anger. Because what you need to do is you need to relieve the anger in order to create a path for reconciliation and healing. Our world today is too angry. And when you're angry, you're unhinged. And when you're unhinged, you're not thinking. And when you're not thinking, you can't come to a solution. And when you can't come to a solution, you can't help anyone else. I love the old airplane understanding, you know. What do they say? When the oxygen masks drop out, put the mask on yourself and then help your neighbor. Why? If you're not breathing the clean air, you cannot help your neighbor. And if your body and mind and soul is filled with the filth of anger, you cannot solve anyone else's problem, because everything in your life is filtered through that anger. And let's be clear. We serve a God who so loved the world that when the world beat him and bloodied him and nailed him to a tree, he never showed anger. They beat him and he bled love. He showed grace. His grace was so great that the hardened soldiers, the centurions that supervised his crucifixion, knew that he was special. And when the centurion said, "Surely this man is the Son of God," he was giving his ultimate compliment to the character and the love of Jesus the Christ. We are his followers, the sheep of his pasture. And our responsibility is to project to the world the same peace, the same love. We're strangers in a strange land, ambassadors for a living God. How does it help the cause of Christ? Ask it before you speak. Ask it before you tweet. I'm telling you, I'm learning this every day. I have to teach myself. I have to remind myself, because there's things I want to say. I read an article, I go, "Oh, this is a great article. It says exactly what I'm thinking." Does it help anybody? I fail. I make mistakes. Please don't assume that I've got it all right, but please follow me in correcting and knowing that what our responsibility in life is to bless God and to bless others. You're the blessing God wants to send into the world. And so even though it feels so good to say that nasty thing, even though it feels so right, it's a beautiful thing when you get the last word, right? That's not why you're here. And that's not why I'm here. I'm here to be a blessing to the world, to glorify the name of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and to bless my neighbor as if I loved them like they were me. If we can do that, we will change the tenor of our nation and of our world. Don't expect the world to do what you're called to do. It's not their job yet. It's our job to make it their job by sharing with them Jesus. But for those of you who follow Jesus, for those of us who walk as children of a living God, that's our job, to show the world a more excellent way. In a moment, we're going to gather around the table for communion. And communion is our way of saying yes to God's blessing. It's also saying yes to the responsibilities of being children of God. The Bible calls it a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. That new covenant is an agreement. It's a legally binding agreement that says we will be the children of God. We don't have to be the children of God. God gives us a choice, and we say yes to God. And when we say yes to God, we also say yes to all the rules and conditions, right? You got to do it every time you update your iTunes. I know you understand rules and conditions. And so when you do that, you say yes. And what do you say yes to? Glorify God. Love others as yourself. When we come to the table, we do it in community, and we do in recognition that it is now our responsibility to be the people of God. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for me and to die for you, so that we might have the grace of God. Not so that we can keep it as a prized possession for ourselves, so that as the people of God we can share that grace with the world around us and thereby transform the world into more people who love and care and grow. I want to ask you to pray with me as we prepare for communion. And to pray so that our hearts might be transformed and changed, so that we might be willing ambassadors to transform ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we might transform the world through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray as a people. Loving God, there's so much loose tongues in our world today. So many people that share anger, that speak without thinking, and that speak without loving. God, God of grace, God of glory, God of love, we ask that you would help us to be transformed by the power of your love and in your grace, so that we might be living ambassadors, so that we might move into the world, so that we might share your love with others. Loving God, help us to make a difference in our world. Change us. Use us for your purpose, so that we might share your love with the world around us. And loving God, if there's any here who have not experienced your grace, transform them. Stir their hearts to follow you, to understand your sacrifice, and to be transformed by your blood. Help us to be your body and to be sacrificed and sent so that the world might know. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord as we prepare for communion. We're going to sing together, Fairest Lord Jesus, as we prepare to gather around the table.